Cranston here with Kenny Hamilton, Brett Ehrlich, and Ben Minkowitz.
So good.
Yeah, this is a good crew. I'm really happy about this crew today. I'm gonna be honest. We have a really fun show for you guys today. We have some good news from Yelp and some things that they're doing for bathrooms. I'll tease that way. And then we have a fun story at the end.
People go on Yelp for a bathroom?
Well, that's what's going to happen. Yeah.
Glad you did the reading.
He's very prepared for this hour. And then there's a cool story at the end about how a site is implementing quizzes on their articles so that people can't troll.
They're going to be quizzes?
You didn't do the reading.
But first, we have sort of a serious story, so let's jump right into that. A former Intercept reporter has been arrested after making 8 bomb threats on Jewish institutions. Now, Juan Thompson was arrested in St. Louis on one count of cyberstalking since he allegedly made these threats to harass a former girlfriend. Now, Thompson's first alleged threat came just 9 days after the first wave of bomb threats hit JCCs, which are Jewish community centers across the country. Now, there has been a 95% increase in anti-Semitic threats and crimes this year so far compared to last year, which as of Friday add up to at least 103 at 77 Jewish community centers and 9 Jewish schools. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, Juan made these threats allegedly to harass his former ex-girlfriend, and he started harassing her back in July when she ended the relationship. Now, on July 27th, Thompson allegedly sent an email to the victim's employer at a social service organization in the greater New York area, claiming that she'd been pulled over for drunk driving and was being sued for spreading sexually transmitted diseases. He also sent other emails to her employer saying that she was in possession of child pornography and things like that. But then at the beginning of this year, he started with the bomb threats. He made 8 bomb threats to Jewish institutions over the course of a month. Sometimes he'd make threats in his own name. Other times he'd make them in the victim's name and then claim that she was trying to frame him.
Again, these are all the allegations by the FBI.
Yes, allegations. Now, according to the FBI, like you said, he sent the first threat via email to the Jewish History Museum. He also allegedly threatened a Jewish school in Manhattan, another Jewish school in Farmington Hills, Michigan, a JCC in Manhattan, a JCC in San Diego, and a bunch of other institutions. Now, he is saying that he sent an email to the American Defense League saying that the woman, the victim in this situation, is behind the bomb threats against Jews and that she lives in New York City and is making more bomb threats tomorrow. On February 24th, he also posted a very bizarre Twitter rant about her. And so I want to read you a few excerpts from that. Now, the first one, he says, 2 years ago, after swearing off white women, I started dating one named Francesca. She seemed like a cool Brooklyn white radical.
Sure.
he then goes on, we broke up after someone showed me the light. And since then, she's stalked and harassed me, threatened to have me killed, and said she was going to make me a prison statistic and looked forward to me being raped in prison.
I don't know why rape is in quotes.
Yes. She, though I can't prove it, even sent a bomb threat in my name to a Jewish center, which was odd given her anti-Semitic comments. So he sent this on February 24th. He has now been arrested. That was a weird sort of a contrast there. Now, this is the first arrest made in connection with a lot of the bomb threats that have been put on Jewish institutions around the country. And frankly, I think this is an unfortunate first arrest because they are able to sort of deflect it on his harassment of his ex-girlfriend when there are some real anti-Semitic notions going around the country.
When you're in a fight with your girlfriend, leave the Jews out of it.
What's amazing about anti-Semitism, and in America, there are people suffering worse in America than the Jews, right? No question.
Yeah.
But man, do we get pulled in to every racist crackpot in the world. Like you get you're in prison, you'd be like what Janko and I always talk about, the white supremacists, they'll be railing on the black guys in prison and the Muslims in prison and the Latinos in prison, and they'll be like, and of course, don't forget the Jews. Why are you against us? Hate the people you hate.
There's fewer Jews in prison because we have better lawyers.
Yeah, for sure. Good point.
That's one way of looking at it. Well,
Here's one of the things. First of
the
all,
three Jews on this podcast.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know how can I laugh? Right. We got you. We got
well,
you.
You know, you guys, I consider my friends. I have a lot of other friends of the faith, as I say, and I always say that you know, blacks and Jews are closer because we've both been oppressed.
That's right.
And we have a lot of the same similarities in our lives as we go through it. There's two sides to this. One. You got a guy who's an idiot. He went to Williamsburg, thought he could get somebody that's different, and that Williamsburg is a section of Brooklyn, for those who may not know, who there is kind of known for the, I guess, the radicals or whatever he's looking for. He was fired for lying. So yeah. His reputation right now is already suspect in a sense of, I'm not sure if I can believe what you're saying, Juan. First of all, he's not, I don't know if he's Spanish or not, so I'm not going to talk about the Juan part in his name. But let's just get down to what the FBI said. And since the FBI has said that they have these that they've proven that
as
stuff has been linked to him.
Yeah.
On another side, it's not hard for me to frame somebody if I'm smart enough or have the people that can, you know, link the IP addresses to that. But I feel like the FBI would have already found that part out.
Yeah.
So now he's trying to go back and save himself, saying that, oh, she was doing this. She was sitting in these threats. She was going around, you know, gave me herpes. And although I can't prove it, she's sending a bomb threat to my name. Like, no, there's guys out here that do stupid stuff like that, that stalk their ex-girls, that go through, if I can't have you, nobody can type of deal. And they go, you know, calling her job and stuff. That's a punk way of going out. And I believe that he probably would have done stuff like that. And now at this point where he's trying to frame her for doing all these other, sending all these bomb threats and things like that. I mean, at this point, I, if I was Judge Joseph Wapner, rest in peace, I'm siding with the defense. I'm siding with the plaintiff.
I want to expand on something you said real quick just to clarify. Now, you mentioned that he has been caught lying before. He was a reporter for The Intercept, and he was fired. He was let go after he quoted a Scott Roof in respect to the Dylann Roof case, who just didn't exist. So he already has sort of a history of lying and sort of trying to get attention.
He started a Facebook post 2 years ago after swearing off white women. I'm good.
It sounds like stupid. It was an old phrase in hip hop. It was like, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Yeah.
Right now, like you have no weight in anything you're saying right now.
But to Hannah's point is the bigger point is that. That there will be those people who want to point out that the Trump administration has not sort of unleashed the devil by creating an atmosphere where people who want to single out blacks or Jews or Latinos or Muslims now feel emboldened and free to do it. And we saw that in what has been apparently a significant uptick of bomb threats against Jewish community centers and Jewish places of worship. I believe we call those temples. I'd have to check. I'm not a good Jew.
I call them temples.
And there'll be an aha moment like, no, look, it's just essentially a kid. I mean, he's not a kid, but I just mean it might as well be when the argument was, hey, somebody sent me on Twitter when the Jewish cemetery was vandalized, the first one in St. Louis, that, hey, how do we know it wasn't just drunk kids? This is the grown-up version of drunk kids, meaning it's nothing to do with Trump. It's just
don't think it had anything to do with that. I think this is just one of those isolated incidents.
Except for the fact that, again, because there had already been an increase, it started beforehand. So he's like, well, I'll hop on this bandwagon.
That's what I think. I mean, I agree with you, right? So I think because there is this uptick in anti-Semitism, because people do feel like they can kind of come out of the woodwork and express these beliefs, we have seen it with these bomb threats most recently. We've seen it with swastikas following November 8th and things like that, that people are doing this more and people feel more accepted in doing so. And it's so unfortunate that there were so many bomb threats. Then he felt like he could jump on the bandwagon and blame it on his ex-girlfriend. And that would be a threat or something like that, a way to harass her that would be believable. And so that's like, I think, the real unfortunate part. And a lot of Trump supporters who have already said that these are false statements and it's really just liberals who are, you know, making these to make Trump supporters sound bad and whatever it may be, this sort of gives credence to that, which is really unfortunate.
You know, I really think maybe Juan was a part of the Obama administration and, this is a way
good
of
point.
At the Trump administration.
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah,
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So
So anyway, he seems like a catch.
Yeah, sounds like a really great couple. Yeah.
What time's dinner
well,
tonight?
Now he's only getting charged on one count of cyber stalking. I feel like if you make a bomb threat.
Well, those are probably, if they can prove it, those are coming.
Yeah, they're coming back. Yeah, but guys, what time's dinner tonight?
I don't know, but it's 4:20 right now.
Okay.
All right, moving on. On Tuesday, ICE arrested Romulo Avilica Gonzalez, an undocumented man with 4 U.S. born children, while he was on his way to drop his daughters off at school. Now, one of his daughters has reported that her father was very scared when he was being pulled over, so she started filming the event as ICE enforcers arrested the man and took him away. Take a look.
Mama, cierra la puerta.
So obviously that is an extremely heart-wrenching video to watch. Now, Avilica Gonzalez, who has been in the U.S. for more than 20 years, dropped off his 12-year-old daughter and was on his way to drop off his 13-year-old child when immigration officials detained him a block from his daughter's school in Los Angeles. Avilica said the immigration officers had been following him in a car since he left the house that morning. Now, it's being reported that Avilica Gonzalez has 2 prior convictions, a DUI that is nearly a decade old, and a conviction from 20 years ago when he bought a car that had a registration sticker on it that did not belong to the car. Also, it appears as though he had an outstanding order of removal that dates back to 2014. Now, the National Day Labor Organizing Network mobilized to make calls to ICE officials to halt Avilica Gonzalez's deportation. And according to them, Avilica Gonzalez was granted a temporary stay on Tuesday night, but he remains in detention.
So he'd been arrested. Oh, I see it. There it is. So the DUI, a decade old.
Right.
And
he bought a car with a poor registration sticker. And so they asked for his removal back in 2014. And now he is the victim of targeted enforcement by ICE officials.
Bad dude.
And now, ICE can wear, they're allowed to wear LAPD uniforms.
So they are allowed to wear uniforms that say police on it, right? Mm-hmm. Now that's technically legal, although Garcetti asked that they not do that, so not to increase the tensions between police and immigrants in the city.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a horrendously bad idea to wear police uniforms when you're not a police officer. It is, of course. I guess they are law enforcement officers, but again, you know, it's of course a crime for the rest of us to intimidate, to impersonate a police officer.
Right.
I've never intimidated a police officer
except on Halloween.
But then you're wearing a costume; you're not really impersonating. Like these guys are going through the actions; they're pulling somebody over.
Right.
Yeah, so obviously everyone is incredibly naive who pretends that this isn't a dramatic increase in what we've seen since November 9th and really, of course, since January 20th.
Let's get the violent criminal. I'm fine with violent criminal arrest and deportation, especially because that's what you said was going to happen. Like, this is, go after the bad dudes, not the guy who had a DUI and like didn't do his paperwork right on the purchase of his vehicle. Well, we got to get him now. We got to get him quick before he does something really terrible, like tag off a mattress.
Yeah, or like, take his daughters to school on Wednesday also, and then Thursday, and then Friday,
and then next week. And the more you see individual instances like this, the more you realize what everybody's talking about on the side of let's do this practically and try to, if you're going to go after people who are illegally, go after the people that make sense to target. Don't use this new program that Trump had unveiled during the joint session of Congress, his voice program, where it just seems so obvious to me that he's going to use this to disproportionately use the struggles of people who have actually experienced violence at the hands of undocumented immigrants, to use that to justify arresting grandparents outside hospitals. Like, or dads with their kids on the way to work. That's not what we're doing. That's not what you said you were going to do, but it seems like that's what you've already started doing.
Yeah, I mean, since he made his immigration amendments, basically he's saying that they can go after anybody who has any sort of criminal record. It doesn't matter if it's a violence offense like it was under the Obama administration. And, you know, as we covered before, it's these cases of these seemingly innocuous people who are just trying to live their life, take their freaking kids to school, and then they're getting arrested in this horrendous and heart-wrenching video that is just going to, I mean, I hope it angers people and I hope it gets people to get active. And so in that way, I think because it is so egregious, hopefully it gets people mobilized.
But do you feel like this is a scare tactic of sorts? Like,
yeah.
At this point, with what they're doing, they're going to get anybody that they can to say we're cleaning up the streets of all the bad people, of all the rapists, the murderers, the robbers, and the killers. And this is their way of getting the dads dropping their kids off to school and the ones being the example. I don't know, it didn't say his age, but you know, a lot of these convictions.
How old? He's 48.
Yeah, so these convictions
were half his life in the U.S.
Exactly, and some of this stuff is when he was younger. I'm pretty sure when he got that car that he didn't know who was selling him the car. He just needed transportation. And as we've all had these situations happen where, you know, something may not have been right, but we didn't know. And a DUI, I haven't had a DUI, and I'm not going to say everyone has, and that's okay. But he's done a lot of things in his past, and his record's been clean. And this is where, you know, it's that gray area. But then again, I asked the question, why hasn't he become a citizen since then? Why hasn't he become? Well, and I'm just being devil's advocate, not saying that, oh, I agree with what happened, but... this long, why do you think the process hasn't gone on for him to get the proper paperwork that he needs?
There's no clear pathway. There's also, along the way, if they've discovered you've made even a part of a misstep, and sometimes that's just failing to file the renewal of your DACA paperwork on time if you miss it. Like yesterday we covered the story of a girl who is being deported because for various reasons you can, you know, smell out. But essentially, the one that they're citing is that she didn't file the money to renew her paperwork because she was still saving for it. So they dock it and they say, you know, you're dog-eared if you made one mistake along the way. Not that you committed a violent crime, but if you just didn't get your paperwork in on time, it could be that small to stop you from getting
it. It's about what kind of tone we're setting, and that's why paying attention to how Trump talks is so important. It's not just, you know, we're not just pointlessly covering stories like, oh, there goes Trump again. I mean, that speech, which he got praised for by Gayle King and Van Jones and a bunch of other people on network television and the cable networks, and I like Van Jones a lot. I just think he lost it for a night. You don't praise this guy, and you don't praise him particularly as becoming president on a speech where he says, I'm going to set up a special office that's just going to be about pointing out crimes committed by outsiders against white people. I know he didn't say white people, but that's the message that
he heard.
Right, that's what that is the message that he's sending, and that's hideous and awful and terrible. And the result is that guys like this are going to get arrested. And look, he had a DUI and he's here illegally, so he's not going to win. The odds are he's not going to win. Right. And he's got four kids and he's going to get sent back to Mexico and he's going to maybe risk it again to try and figure out some dangerous way to come across to be with his children. Or all those kids who are U.S. citizens, have got to leave the country to go be with their dad.
Yeah.
And that is not a decision that we ought to be making. I'm sorry, I know I've been going. Can I say one thing? It's sort of a...
Nope, sorry, your time's up. The buzzer sounded.
Damn it. Look, I think I said this on Old School. I don't know where. But like, ICE... if you're a law enforcement agency, you don't get to have a cool name. You're not a band, right? You have a serious job to do, and these are people's lives at stake, and you know this is part of it. Like, ICE, man.
We did
Immigration and Customs Enforcement. How about this? Immigration and Customs Agency. That's the name, ICA, ICM, an ICA agent. That's the name, FBI. You don't get to be cool and wear cool jackets, and then mess people's lives up because you feel emboldened and powerful and jacked up. So I hate it. I hate ICE. I hate their name. I always hated their name. You don't get to be cool. And being a cop is cool enough. You don't also get to have a badass name like you're in a band. Okay.
Good point. I think
you know what? I think it is a good point.
I think it is a good point. Yeah. I think it's awesome because, you know, they're like, the Iceman cometh.
Right.
Hey, now get on the floor, abuela.
All right.
Get on the floor. Oh, nice. Boy, I like that. That was good.
Okay, moving on. Texas GOP lawmakers have introduced a bill that will effectively grant doctors the right to lie to women about their pregnancies and potentially prevent them from going through an abortion. Now, Texas Senate Bill 25, also known as the Wrongful Births Bill, has made its way to the Texas Senate floor and would prevent lawsuits against doctors if a baby is born with a disability. Now, the Texas Senate Committee on State Affairs passed the bill, which would legislate how much information a woman is allowed to receive about her own pregnancy. Now, I want to just emphasize that. This is going to legislate how much information a woman is allowed to receive about her own pregnancy, okay? Now, the bill's author, Republican Senator Brandon Crighton, argued that wrongful birth lawsuits could motivate doctors to encourage abortion in order to avoid the possibility of legal action. Now, this basically goes to protect doctors so that if a severely disabled child is born, that the parents cannot sue the doctor for not providing enough information about the child's disability so that the parents could potentially end the pregnancy if that's a decision that they decided to make. Now, according to some lawyers in the Texas area who have been practicing medical malpractice, they say that this sort of case has never really come into courts. But that doesn't stop these sort of lawmakers from trying to enact this anti-abortion legislation.
They're such liars. Yes.
I still don't understand why it matters. Why other people are so engulfed in thinking or trying to think for a person. Like, that's a woman's body is a woman's body. They make the decisions of what they want for their body. What law, what legality, what, you know, senator, whoever, political pundit, whoever has the audacity to really care or tell a person what they can do for their body.
I still can't
fathom. I can't even come to the words to say because it pisses me off so much. Like, that's your decision.
No.
Like, why do I have any say in that? I don't get that.
Right. I agree with you. And we see this time and time again with lawmakers who are trying to control women's bodies, women's choice. I think it even becomes more egregious when you jump into the fact that you're bringing doctors into the situations where you allow doctors who are supposed to be caring for the health of these women and to put them first and make them a priority. And you're saying, okay, now you have, depending on your opinion or your religious beliefs or whatever, you can withhold information from a woman about her own body and about the child she is carrying in her body. I mean, that is absurd. It is disgusting, and it is frightening.
Well, first of all, I disagree with Kenny a little bit because I do understand it. Like, I mean, if you think it's murder, then I get it. I get where I disagree with it, and I think that we got to do all we can. We got to fight harder to protect the woman's right to choose the course of treatment for her own body. But if you think it's murder, I get that you'd be opposed to it and you'd fight that law, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But these laws, because the Supreme Court has made it clear that you can't do that. So all of these laws are nitpicking it, making it essentially impossible in some cases for women to have an abortion by requiring the, you know, size of the hallways, by the tree, you know, all these things that make it so there are women all over this country now who have to go hundreds, if not some, I'm sure, maybe even 1,000 miles just to get a legal abortion. But when we were talking about healthcare in this country, one of the Republican conservatives, those people who most, many of whom are on the anti-choice side, they argued that this is, the healthcare is between a patient and their doctor. Mm-hmm. And the government should not get involved in that. And now, it's okay. The government is getting so involved in it, but they're allowing the doctor to simply lie and mislead a patient, which strikes me as something that the AMA, which requires the doctors to sign the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm, well, lying to them, I think, constitutes harm.
Not to mention the intense hypocrisy in when juxtaposed to the laws about the kind of information that they force on patients.
Yeah, yeah.
All those laws that say, I'm not going to tell you what's wrong with your baby or anything, but before you have an abortion, I'm going to make you watch its heartbeat. Well, I'm going to make you do all this stuff that makes it less likely that you'll have an abortion. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I want to expand on that. So as of January 1st, 2017, there are a bunch of anti-abortion laws that are in place in Texas. So I want to mention some of them to you. The first one being that if you want to go through an abortion, you have to get a state-directed counselor that is basically designed to discourage you from getting an abortion. And then you have to wait for 24 hours after that counseling session before you can have the procedure. There's also, like you were mentioning about the heartbeat and stuff like that, women are forced to undergo an ultrasound before obtaining an abortion, and they must, the provider must show and describe the image to the woman, which is just right. Like,
you gotta wait 24 hours, so in that 24 hours, go buy a gun that day, just take it home with you.
Yeah.
No waiting period.
No, it's a good point.
Very cut and dry to me that, like, regardless of your point on, yeah, I get it. I think people can very easily think that it's murder, but still stop and say, no, the law is that.
That's right.
And I can't do that. I agree with both of you.
So they're nitpicking little piece by piece by piece by piece of what they think they can get away with. This strikes me as a law. And these are inconceivable that they can get away with this.
But a lot of the conservatives and the GOP that are passing these laws and that want these laws to go to pass are the ones that don't adopt. They're the ones that don't, you know, do the other measures that would help it prevent people from having these abortions.
Yeah, it's
big government. It's forcing government down your throat.
It's riddled with hypocrisy. Yeah. Riddled with hypocrisy on four or five levels.
Yeah, it's ill-conceived.
I see what you did there.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break and we'll be back soon. All right, back on the Young Turks, Hannah here with Kenny, Brett, and Ben. I'm going to go over to some TYT live tweets. Regina Daniel says, the live show makes me forget about the stresses of the day. Love you guys. Oh, love you too.
Live great, show. We just talked about abortion.
Right. The live show totally stresses me out, Regina.
Darkolotomatis, I think I said that right. They think it's a scare tactic, but in that they want to scare people to flee the U.S., which is an interesting point.
Yep, I hear that too.
And then on the abortion aspect, the abortion story, Gabby says, this has nothing to do with protecting lives and everything to do with controlling women and coercing us to do everything on men's terms. Yes. Yep. Yes, girl.
I think they just think that, I mean, I went to Catholic school and I heard a lot of it, and I think they just think that abortion is murder.
I thought you were Jewish.
Yeah, but you can still go to whatever school you want. School choice.
You're a Jew, right?
I'm Jewish.
That's great that you had the choice to make a decision over your own body to go to the school that you wanted.
No, but
that's amazing, Brett.
You told me to choose not to have an abortion.
Jewish parents send their kid to Catholic school.
We're not that Jewish.
Did you not go to summer camp?
I wasn't that Jewish either. You
wouldn't catch me at a
freaking Catholic school.
Where I went, there was not a lot of good options.
I went to summer camp.
Just kidding.
Yeah?
Yeah. You went to Jewish summer
camp? Did you go to Jewish
summer camp? No, I just went to summer camp.
I had to wear
a Jewish thing.
I went to YMCA summer camp.
Really?
Yeah, Decatur, Georgia. Yeah.
Mm. Decatur?
Yeah.
That's where my dad's from.
Really?
Yeah, they had.
Probably not my side, though.
They ran a grocery store, and my grandma always used to tell me it was like they had on the same side sign, no blacks, no Jews, no dogs. It was just the sign they had on the outside of wherever you'd go. It was like, keep those people away. So we would, my grandparents would like, that was like the thing that they ran. It was like for the blacks, the Jews, and the Jews.
Like,
yeah.
Right.
Hey. Sounds like a party.
Yeah.
Who's having Shabbat tonight, right? Who's having dinner?
Mm. No.
Nope.
I'm going to have.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Let's jump in the story before we talk about dinner plans.
I've been eating Whopper candy.
Just 1 week after Trump removed protections for transgender students in public schools, Yelp has announced that they are implementing a new tool on their platform that will allow users to find gender-neutral bathrooms in their area. Now, there are some other third-party apps like Refuge Restrooms that allow transgender members to find bathrooms that are safe and accessible for all genders. But this is the first time that an app that is so widely used like Yelp is implementing such a feature. Now, the company released a statement on their blog saying that Yelp will collect this information from users and business owners in two ways. We will begin asking users who check into or review businesses like restaurants and retail shops if those establishments offer restrooms that are gender neutral. Additionally, business owners can edit the gender neutral restrooms attributed for their business user accounts. So this is a really great move, obviously, in the wake of Trump removing those protections for a lot of transgender people who often will not drink water. They will dehydrate themselves on purpose to avoid these sorts of issues, and who will often hold their urine for long periods of times. They have a really high risk of getting UTIs and things like that. So this is a really great move by Yelp that is offering this feature for their members, and I applaud them for doing so.
I don't know whether you've noticed, but at least here in LA, just in the last 4 months,
I'm making that time period up. Mm. Maybe 4 weeks. But I mean, now three of the last five restaurants I've gone to have gender-neutral bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden, just there's two bathrooms and they just say restroom.
Cleaner? Are they cleaner now they're gender-neutral? Because women have to go in them?
Right. Like, there's only
boys' rooms are gross.
Right. There's only an upside for us for them doing this is that the bathrooms will perhaps be cleaner. But I don't know. I'm just that is I have no data to back it up, but observationally, I would say that has started to happen here. Mm-hmm. That restaurants are just taking away the idea of men and women, and you can go into either bathroom.
I think that's the solution. And it's cool.
Do it at people's houses. I'm not over at your house. Well, if you'd never invited me over, but.
I wouldn't do that.
But I mean, I don't think you'd be like, I don't say, where's the men's room when I'm at your house?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
That is
a construct we've created.
That's right.
The iconography on them was created. It wasn't when at the dawn of man, there was a dress thing and a pants thing.
Right. But you have to think of Middle America, the South, other places that aren't as liberal as the great state of California. And the problem is you're going to have, I think this is a great idea from Yelp, and kudos to Yelp for coming up with this idea. Yeah, you're going to have the trolls and the guys who, you know, maliciously look to sort out and mess with these type of, you know, installations and saying, oh, it's gender friendly, just to get you to go there and harass you, things like that. At the most extreme, that may happen, but hopefully you'll have a larger percentage of people that just, you know, help others to feel comfortable in where they're going.
Yeah. Restrooms, regardless of if they're gender neutral or not, like if someone that you identify as a pervy trans person walks into the bathroom, like it's still illegal for them to grope you. It's still, there's so many things that even if they're allowed to use the same bathroom as you, they're not allowed to do. So everything that you're complaining about that you think is enabled by trans, you know, by allowing trans people to use that bathroom, all the things you're afraid of are still illegal if they do them. You know, if they touch you. Otherwise, what, I mean, I don't know how many times I'm washing my hands and people are looking at my genitals. Like, that's
not happening. No, it doesn't happen. And so much of those stories and the fears about that are just made up, right? I think that is fake news, frankly. But I think the bigger issue here is that all of these religious people and Republicans who want to act against these sorts of access for transgender people pretend that they're pro-life. But apparently that doesn't extend to after a child is born. Right. Trans students have a 50% rate of attempted suicide. And that is compared to a 4.6% compared to the general public. That is astonishing. That is terrifying. And that comes from having an increased rate of having anxiety and depressive disorders for not feeling accepted and welcomed in your communities. So doing a bathroom, having a gender neutral bathroom, it could be a single bathroom, it could be whatever bathroom, it doesn't really matter. That saves lives. And so if that's going to be your platform to be pro-life, this is a move that you want to take.
Did you guys see the Independent Spirit Awards? The afternoon before the Oscars, the Saturday last afternoon. Saturday.
Got a season pass. I always have it recorded.
And it's a good show, and they give it to, you know, a bunch of independent movies, of which some are also Oscar nominated, Manchester by the Sea, independent. But John Mulaney and Nick Kroll hosted it, and their 9.5 minutes to open the show is just simply worth watching. Right. They crushed it. They were fantastic. But among the things that was said about Trump's order was, because as you said, referencing the people who might come in to take advantage of this, the odds of people who get abused in public bathrooms are transgender people. Transgender people aren't doing the abusing. So it's that is fake news. This has been completely turned around by the right. But those guys just pointed out they're doing their opening and they're like, Trump issued this executive order. And they were like, thank God. Because transgender children have just had it too good for too long. And it's absurd that we are talking about it in the context of protecting us from dangerous transgender people when it's the other way around.
And just go meet one. Just go talk to someone. That's the thing is, yes, it's terrifying because you think, because of everything that you're thinking right now, you're trapped in your own mind and in your own preconceived notions, which are wrong. It's okay to admit that you're wrong. Go meet one. Go watch a video that's like trans man uses bathroom. And it's someone who, when you look at them, looks like a dude with a beard. And then you have to reevaluate whether you think that it's inappropriate for that person with a beard to walk into a men's room. Just get over it.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, they'll be flippant about it and think, oh, it's just a bathroom, it's not a big deal or something like that. But I think a lot of these laws come into play, and I think we need to give them more weight than we do. Like, even with the passing of gay marriage, we've seen a huge reduction in attempted suicide in the LGBTQ community because these people are feeling more accepted and more loved by their communities, and that makes a big difference. And that's a matter of life and death. Mm-hmm. And I do think that we need to be more aware and more cognizant of this kind of legislation.
I wish there was an app where I could go rate Yelp.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Five stars.
I would give them 5 stars.
Oh.
Yes.
That's great. I want to see I want to see the day when everything's so equal that everyone is just reviewing these bathrooms on how clean they are, not whether they're.
That is the America I want to live in.
Complaining about not enough toilet paper. Mm.
By the way, I went to there was a Norm's restaurant here in LA. This is important, Hannah.
Tell me more, Ben.
On the West Side, and it was the most disgusting bathroom I've ever gone into. I went in.
Come on, don't do it to them. That's mean.
It was 2004. I've never gone to a Norm since then. I mean, it's not fair. It was just one time, one bathroom. Mm. It's now the whole restaurant is closed down.
Right.
And I drove past and I saw it closed down. I was like, victory.
Aww.
It's a small.
Wait a minute. What an unconventional war of attrition between and Norm.
12 years later, and I'm the big winner.
Yeah. All right.
Tell me that wasn't worth it.
Yeah. Big winner. Now we're going to move to Big Bang Theory. So, an incredible gesture of solidarity, the 5 main cast members of The Big Bang Theory have decided to give themselves a pay cut so that their 2 female co-cast members could have a pay increase. Jim Parsons, Johnny Galecki, Kaley Cuoco, Kanell Nayar, and Simon Helberg all reportedly make about $1 million an episode, and they are now saying that they are going to take a pay cut of about $100,000 so that their cast members, Mayim Bialik and Melissa Rauch, could have a pay increase. Now, both actresses are making about $200,000 per episode right now.
The poorhouse.
Now, if Bialik and Rauch split the $500,000 from their co-stars, both would rise to nearly $450,000 an episode or more than $21 million for the 2-year, 48-episode deal. Now, I think this is an incredible move by these cast members. It's similar to the move that the Friends cast members made, where they all stayed in solidarity to make sure that there was parity for equal work and equal pay. But I think there's 2 absurd facts about it. I think the first being that they're making $1 million an episode. I think that's ridiculous. And then I think the second absurd fact about it is that they have to take a pay cut so that their cast members can get a pay increase, right? I understand that Ben, maybe you can do a little bit better job explaining this about like the rules of syndication and the way that the show is still making money now. But it's kind of silly that they don't just increase the other cast members' salaries.
We want to go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's absurd because this is one of the biggest shows on TV, a la Friends. Friends was like that first, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Friends was that first cast that was making about $1 million an episode.
Right.
All the main characters.
We had 6 people.
Yeah. But it was the syndication varies in different countries, different territories. There are different deals that are cut, and each one is this station, this network buying the episodes, so they're getting money from each deal, and it could be different based off the countries and wherever they are. Mayim Bialik, which I still love from Blossom. And Melissa Rauch, they've been integral parts in the storyline, and I don't even look at them as co-stars. I actually look at them as the main stars. However, they aren't as popular as
They weren't there. Were they there at the beginning?
They came 5 season 3. Members.
Right, so they came later. So
we're on season, 11 right now? So
yeah.
At some point, they should be well over 200,000.
Yeah,
which
that's what
they should have at least been at 500 to 700.
They just 200,000 an episode. They do 24 episodes a year. That's it's $4.8 million.
I don't care.
Right. It's a lot of money, undoubtedly. But right. I don't think that like just because it's a lot of money, you get to say that they get to make that much smaller than the rest of the cast members. I don't think they need to make the same amount because those are the original cast cast members, and those are the main.
You all are,
love it.
They built the show to what it is. They built the show to what it is, and the co-stars are coming in and to help.
My indifference to this. As long as Johnny Galecki is set financially.
My indifference to this is overwhelming. One, because I'm baffled by the show's success, but more power to
you. No.
It's an amazing show.
It is not.
I think it's amazing. I didn't even think it's amazing.
This is actually not a matter of opinion. You were mistaken.
What they do is because they have autism, they can't take things figuratively, and then they interpret them literally, and it's hilarious. Don't you see?
That said, the reason they don't give the other people more money is because at some point you can't simply pay the cast that much money. I mean, there are 5 stars making $1 million. You want to have it 7, that's $7 million an episode.
Right.
24 episodes a year. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. And
And they're making it.
So I got it. They're making it, but there is not a limitless amount of money. I want the writers to get paid, right?
Right.
I want the.
They do.
Right?
I'm when sure. When you deliver an episode of whatever, there's a union fee that you get when you deliver your episode. You're paid per week that you're there as part of the writing staff.
Right, but it's not as much as you're not getting $200,000 an episode.
When I was in 2006, it was $36,000 for writing your episode. That was the union minimum for writing your episode. So what happens is they all brainstorm, everyone's there, they get a weekly salary, and then, you know, of the writing staff, you'll write 3 episodes of the 22.
Right.
For each one of those, you get 26, and it might, depending on your contract, you get additional for every rewrite.
So it's a nice gesture,
right?
But we are talking about a gesture of millionaires transferring some of the money to other millionaires.
The billionaires giving it to the billionaires. Right. Yeah,
but it's for a show that is wildly
so
overrated.
But it's so
but,
bad.
It's a beautiful gesture from these
cast members. It's important that they're recognizing this. And I think it communicates to whoever's, you know, in charge of deciding these salaries that they're willing to do this and that they're the importance in this.
Right.
And I think it's good because it sets a tone in Hollywood as well to start.
Exactly.
Yeah, the dialogue has been there, but now we're starting of a critically acclaimed, very awarded show.
I would say the following. The person who should make the most money is first Jim Parsons.
Number one.
Who should make 4 times what every other person works.
Mm-hmm. That show
gets
is because of him.
He is the best person on that show. Johnny Galecki should be way the back in the back just because he's not doing a very good job. I think that Kunal does a great job, and Kaylee does a terrible job, and Simon does a great job. Mayim Bialik, she's Blossom. She's infallible. But I think the truth
I like
this story because frequently you'll see a bunch of math that says, like, this person was in the same movie as that person and didn't get paid as much.
Right.
Well, in Hollywood, there's leading people and then there's the ones who are the support, and the support people shouldn't get paid as much as the leading folks. Mm-hmm. I think we should do everything we can to make sure that as many talented actors as possible get a shot at that leading part, but I agree that at this point in the life of the Big Bang Theory, they're all equally responsible, except Johnny Galecki, for the success of that show. I don't know why I want to like him, but I just don't.
Here's the thing, what if it was equated to sports? Jim Parsons is the LeBron James of this team.
Yeah.
And LeBron is paid the way LeBron is paid. Everyone else is not on LeBron's level, so they're not paid at LeBron's level. What if we did it that way then?
But this is the equivalent of them all taking a pay cut to play together.
It doesn't matter the characters that you like or if you think they're a good actor or not. Like, it depends on the contributions that they're making to the show.
And
if they're making more
really
contributions,
like
they should be paid accordingly. I think it's very simple.
I've only seen the first few seasons and then again a later season. So I didn't see the whole arc. I know she was misused in the first few seasons and it was a crime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we just agree that Johnny Galecki's terrible on that show?
Okay. All right.
Hey,
we can agree.
He dated what was Roseanne's daughter's name?
Sarah.
DJ.
Was it? No,
DJ?
It was Darlene.
Darlene. Sorry.
All right, let's move on to the last story of the night.
I felt like that was the last story.
You stop it.
All right. A Norwegian tech site called NRK Beta has implemented quizzes as a way to test potential commenters on their knowledge of the article before commenting. Now, this is coming in an effort to reduce trolls and reduce rants in the comment sections that are ill-informed. Now, on some stories, potential commenters are now required to answer 3 basic multiple-choice questions about the article before they're allowed to post a comment. Now, NRK Beta editor Marius Arneson says that we're trying to establish a common ground for the debate. If you're going to debate something, it's important to know what's in the article and what's not in the article. Otherwise, people just rant. He says that if you spend 15 seconds on it, those are maybe 15 seconds that take the edge off the rant mode when people are commenting. So I have a lot of thoughts about this because I think that we should implement this on YouTube. Because I think when people see a title, and sometimes maybe it's a clickbait title or something like that, it doesn't really matter if the commenters watch the entire video, because sometimes you'll clarify your points in a video, but they don't like to listen to that. Sometimes they will just go into the comments, depending on the title or depending on the thumbnail, or just because it's your face in the video, and write the most ill-informed, vitriolic comments just because they feel like it. And I often think when I'm reading these comments that somebody sat there and like literally typed that, maybe hit backspace once or twice, was thinking about the words, maybe they used the thesaurus, I don't know. And then they sent that without really listening to the content of the video. So I love this move. I want us to expand this to other platforms and go NRK Beta, which is like a very techie sort of news site in Norway.
So good.
It seems like, I think it should be I don't think three questions is enough, and I think there should be an essay.
Just a nice, well, yeah. All right, we've seen, no, that's a well-developed argument. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, write. Go ahead, you can now write first.
Yeah, that's right. First of all, stop reading the YouTube comments. Mm. Just cut it out. Cut it out. I mean, look, every YouTube comment doesn't matter. It could be a Kyrie Irving going behind the back to James, who then goes to Love for a three in the corner, right?
He watched SportsCenter this week.
Yeah. He answered the three questions.
It could be a video of the latest fighting in Ukraine. And no matter what, by the third comment, somebody will say about me or Hannah or Brett or Kenny, that guy seems like a dumb Jew. Like, that just doesn't matter what the video is.
You used to do a countdown to racism.
I think it's, to me, I do the countdown to anti-Semitism. To me, anti-Semitism, there's more anti-Semitism on YouTube than racism. It's one of the few places.
I feel like as a percentage of the population, it's disproportionately represented.
Yeah,
like, there's only 2% of people in America who are Jewish. But
That's right.
But it's,
like 31% of YouTube comments.
No, but like literally the second that they find out you're a Jew, that's the only comment that
that's
they
it,
have.
That's
yeah,
it.
That's it. You're done.
Figures.
Yeah, you would talk about Kevin Love with that hook nose. Well, speaking of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's sky hook.
The thing about some of this with these comments is that you can equate it to a few different things. Like when people snap, you'd be like, oh man, I've never seen that side of him before. Mm. And it's certain triggers that just make people snap. It's like that thing in Criminal Minds when they would always try to find the trigger.
You watch a lot of mainstream network television, my friend.
I do. It's because I also create stuff too.
You gotta watch cable, man.
Oh, I do watch a lot of cable. But so the thing is, what if you have some of these people who are calm-minded people until they see that one word or hear that one comment, and then they go off and say, oh, they start ranting then. There's no way to really hone in on those type of people.
Those aren't the people that are commenting, though.
Because the dumb ones.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the ones intellectual that aren't the smart, people who want to have
ones.
A constructive conversation
right.
are not the people who are going
agree
in and ranting
it's,
on you.
Exactly.
So let me give you an example. I wrote an article yesterday on the Huffington Post, and it was about feminism, okay? Thank you.
What'd they
pay you? I wrote an article on the Huffington Post, and I put it on Twitter and things like that, and I got multiple tweets saying, I didn't read this article, but I know it sucks.
Yeah.
Like, we get that on YouTube videos all the time. I didn't read this, but I already know that I hate it. Like, how?
And it's
how
worse because you're like, shit, I just read their comment. They didn't read my article, but I read it, and I am feeling terrible. Yeah. I didn't even put that much work into it. Yeah, definitely guidelines for reading comments are like, if it's too long, it's not about me. Mm. There should be a Google Translate that, like, just translate us. You click it, and it's like, instead of, like, you know, this terrible diatribe, it just goes, like, hates his own dad. Like, upset about the weather today.
That's actually the sad part.
Thai food.
About
feeling a little weird here.
That is the sad part about a lot of these commenters, is because they're leaving these rants and they're leaving these trolly comments. They really just want attention. And so I do feel bad for them. And now I feel bad that they might have to go through quizzes. It's just going to add to their tough life.
Don't give it to them.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
The problem with the internet was when they opened it up for everyone.
Here's what I think also is the real solution is to have the quiz, but always tell them they got too many answers wrong.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Just like, oh, yeah, no, sorry, you can't leave a comment now.
But at least this is some sort of solution to turning off comments, which pisses a lot of people off, and, you know, free speech and all that stuff. So this is a nice little solution to that.
It's like in the...
You don't have a right to comment on a video. Or you don't. No, you don't. That is not a right. No, you don't. Where is that right? You can then call a friend. You don't have a right to that.
Hannah, pick up. I think this person's a real Jew. Hannah, did you read this Jew?
I'm just texting.
Oh, my God. All right, I think that is all for tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in. Have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you soon.
Stay post-game.